Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
How are you guys doing tonight? All right. Well, tonight obviously is a special night. It's something a little bit different than your average Sunday night. The confetti is probably the cue to that, right? So how many of you are volunteers or serve here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center? Can you do this? Well, all right, raise your hands. I was going to say stand up, but that's pretty much everybody. Hey, look at you guys. You guys are amazing. Tonight, you're going to hear from Pastor Dan and Pastor Jess. They weren't planning on me being here because I just got back from Israel 2 days ago. And it's in my internal clock right now, it's dinner time, right? No, it's 5 a.m. I'm supposed to be waking up right now. So I'm a little bit upside down. So they were kind of like, hey, we weren't sure if you were here. But being that I'm here, they asked if I would just say something quickly to you. And I don't have time to prepare for that. Normally, I take a couple of days to do something like that. And I found out this morning, praise God. So I'm just going to do what's on my heart. Is that okay? Just to tell with you what's on my heart. I'm only going to take 5 to 7 minutes to 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes of your time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these people tonight, Lord, the people that came to hear your word, Father, that came to celebrate Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for every person that's in this place that's a volunteer that serves in the house. God, we ask that you would bless them, speak to each and every one of us where we're at tonight in Jesus' mighty name. We all said, amen. Amen. Well, as Pastor Dan asked me just to share about the heart of servant and service, you know, there's volunteers are something that are very special to the house. And as I was thinking about it, there's just a verse that I talked about a couple of Wednesday nights ago, and it was a really special verse to me. It's Psalms 127, and particularly verse number one. It's one of the Psalms of Ascent, and it was really neat. I was in Israel just a couple of days ago, and these are the Psalms in which you would read ascending to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a higher elevation than many cities. And so as you ascend to Jerusalem, Psalms 123 through 134 are Psalms of Ascent. Psalms 127 is one of those Psalms in which we were reading and as which we were reflecting as we were going to Jerusalem. And it's about building the temple. And David's son Solomon built a temple for God, a magnificent housing for the Spirit of God to dwell. And so what was so amazing as we were reading this, as we were going to the place in which God's temple was built in the city of Jerusalem, reading this, Psalms 127, verse number 1 says that unless the Lord builds the house, they who labor, labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And this is a psalm about building God's temple, about building God's house. But in this day and age, there's no temple in Jerusalem any longer. There's a Muslim shrine there now. And God's temple doesn't reside on a hill. Now God's temple resides on us and in us. And you and I, our bodies, our lives, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit that dwells and lives on the inside of us. And what's so unique and what's so cool about that is we gather together, and where we gather together, we congregate and we create the house of God. You see, there's nothing very special about the building that's here. There's four walls that make a square, and there's an auditorium over there, and there's a room over there. It's an auditorium. What makes this place special is the fact that we, the temple of God, gather together in it, and now we call this the house of God. And what is so cool about this verse is it says that unless God builds the house, we labor in vain. You know, building God's house is laborious. It's a lot of work. There's a lot of effort that goes into it. Physical, exhausting labor that goes into it. And you think about it, serving in God's house, getting up early to show up, showing up when nobody else is there, caring for other people's children. Praise God. Changing diapers, what have you, all the, ministering to junior high kids. It's a hard job. And we can work and we can work and we can work. But you know what? The psalmist says that unless God builds the house, everything that we do it in vain. And my encouragement to you is, You're not just volunteers. You know, volunteer is a secular word that we've brought into the church. A volunteer is something that we do to look good to somebody else. We can volunteer to help save the community or the environment, to plant trees in the community park. And we can volunteer with Habitat for Humanity to help build somebody's house. And it makes us feel good at the end of the day because we did something to better somebody else. But you see, what you do when you come to the house of God, when you participate in here, is you do something far more than volunteering. You serve the kingdom of God. You serve the kingdom of God. You don't do it for your credit. You don't do it for accolades. You don't do it to look good. You don't do it for a badge of honor. You don't do it to put it on your resume. You do it because God is building the house. And when we serve and when we come to the house of God with that mindset, that unless God does his job here, everything I do in vain. And so therefore I show up and I rely on the Spirit. I rely on the power. I rely on the voice. I rely on the presence of God to carry me through. And everything I do it because God is there with me and behind me and working in me and through me. You're so huge to the kingdom of God. Your part may be insignificant to the grand picture. You might wonder, what does it even matter what I do? Nobody even notices. I smile at somebody, or I hand them a piece of paper, or I get up and I give them an envelope so that they can write something down on it. What is the big deal in that? I think what Paul says to the church of Colossae in Colossians, the third chapter, verse number 23, Paul says to the church, he says these words, and whatever you do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. You see, it's not just a volunteer. It's not just a service to somebody else. Why? He says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance if you serve Jesus Christ. You are kingdom builders. It may not be a big deal what you do. It may seem insignificant. It may be monotonous. It might even be boring at times. But what you don't do for the accolades of men. You do because God is building the house. And your labor is not seen as vanity. It's not done in vain. What you do is insignificant, or as significant as it might be. You might be here 7 days a week, or you might be here 1 day a month. It doesn't matter, because the Lord builds the house. And when God builds the house, what you put your hand to, God sees, God recognizes, and God remembers. And that is why you are so, so, so valuable to the kingdom of God. Thank you so much, because I'll tell you what, this house would not be what it is without you. I love you. Appreciate you, Pastor Dan.
Thank you, Pastor Luke. Isn't it good to have him back? We definitely missed him. Well, I'm glad Pastor Luke went first, because he just gave me the perfect intro to what I was going to say tonight. You know, Jesus talked to his disciples, and we get the privilege of looking at what Jesus told them. You know, Jesus never exalted leadership. Isn't that true? He talked about them and told them that, you know, the leaders of the Gentiles lord it over them, but it won't be so amongst you. If you want to be great, then become the servant of all. And that's where I think Pastor Luke was mentioning about volunteerism. You know, I think we're going to start changing the culture of this church a little bit, in the sense that that word volunteer is going to slowly slink its way to the back, and we're going to bring in the word servant. And so, you know what? All of us are on a serve team, and this is team night tonight, and this is us coming together, and we are going to be learning how to serve and learning how to love. And as we do, that's really what's going to make the difference in all of our lives, because Jesus told us that we should be like him, and he came, even though he's the master of all, even though he's the Lord of creation, even though he's the one who could speak a word and the legions of man would fall down before him, and yet he came amongst us as one who serves. And so tonight I just have a little thought about servanthood, and I'm calling this Servanthood 101, okay? Now, to make it easy to remember, turn with me to Psalm 101, okay? You guys got your Bibles? Hopefully you do, you church people. Come on, you brought your Bibles to church, didn't you? You're not serving tonight, so hey, come on, get your Bibles out. And let's talk about servanthood 101. In my studies, I go throughout the Old Testament in the morning, New Testament in the evening, just take a little piece of it and just meditate on it, let it get on the inside of me. And, you know, I was really struck with Psalm 101 that this was a psalm for people who are servants in the house. This is a psalm, if you will help all of us to do a better job at what we do. In Psalm 101, David's writing, and he says this. He says, I will sing of mercy and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. You know, all of our life is a song, if you can think of it as a metaphor. All of our life is something that we live out as a song before God. It's something that we're singing. Every action, every activity that we do is a melody. It's a harmony. It's a beat. It's a rhythm that we do in our lives that is a song to God. And so David says, I will sing of mercy and justice. First of all, he says mercy. Now, that word mercy is not mercy in the sense that we think of it. You know, many times we think of mercy and we think, oh Lord, have mercy on me. I don't deserve what it is that you want to give to me. And so Lord, have mercy. I deserve judgment, but Lord, have mercy. But really mercy in the Old Testament, when you look up the root word, it's really loyal covenant love. He says, I will sing of your love, Lord. I will sing of the loyalty of God. I will sing of your faithfulness, oh God. I will sing of your covenant love. That's a binding love. That's a love that cannot be crossed. And his life was a song. King David, even though he did need mercy at times, even though he did need that loyal covenant love with God, you know, he said, I will sing of mercy, but not only mercy, but also of justice. See, justice is the right way of God. There are things that are just and right in God's eyes. And even though they may not be right to the world, that we should say, you know what, it doesn't matter if I think it's right. It doesn't matter if the world thinks that it's right. What matters is that God sees it as right. And so God, I'm going to sing of your loyal covenant love and of your justice, your righteousness, your right way. Goes on, he says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? Look at the heart of David. When, God? I can't wait. God, when will you come to me? And that should be a heart's cry of every servant. Lord, I need you. God, I can't do this on my own. God, I need your love to show up. I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need your justice. I need to do this your way. God, when will you come to me? God, when will you come and be with me? Continues on and he says this. He says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. See, all of our ministry, each and every one of you as you serve, it should flow from that place of mercy. It should flow from that place of loyal covenant love because God loves me and because I love him and because I am bound to him. I am his love servant. I am the one that is bound to God now. And everything that I do it from a place of the love of God. That the love of God is going to me, but it's not only going to me. Now I'm going to be a channel. I'm going to be like a funnel open to God's love on the top and pouring out specifically into my area of ministry down here on the bottom. And that all of our activities flow from that mercy and from that justice. And it's the beautiful song that God is writing in each and every one of our lives. Mercy comes first because mercy triumphs over judgment. You know, in our ministries, oftentimes there's going to be people that bug you. It's okay to say amen, all right? Unless they're sitting next to you, just sit there and be quiet. It's okay. But in our ministries, there's going to be people that bug us. There's going to be kids that maybe in the children's ministry that, you know, some of you adults, you say, man, they just cling to me. And I don't know what it is. It kind of bugs me. But it needs to come from a place of mercy because maybe that kid didn't have a dad. Maybe that kid didn't have a mom and they're clinging to you because they see that quality in you and they desire that. See, I will sing of mercy, Lord. I will extend the loyal covenant love of God. You know, in our ministries, oftentimes here in a church, you know, this city is a throwaway city to the rest of the world. This city is a place that people look down on. That when you mention it, they associate it with a terrorist attack. And sometimes God brings people here that, you know, the rest of the world would cast out. They would kick them out. They'd say, you know what, you don't look nice, you don't smell nice, you need to stay out of here, you're not contributing anything, you're only taking, get out of here. But listen, the mercy of God, as we look at people that the world says is unlovable, now all of a sudden the compassion of God comes on our lives. And as we see God bringing those people to the food lines, as we see as God brings the people into our church services, and you're the first one there to extend your hand of love and say, welcome, I am so glad that you came today. We are the channels of God's love. We will sing of his mercy, but also of his justice. See, there's a way that we need to do things, and that doesn't mean that you skimp on the rules or any of that kind of stuff. There are certain things that we do that we have to do. We need to make sure to maintain everything decently and in order in this church. Today, I heard of a couple that came into our church for the very first time, said before they hit their seat, they were welcomed 11 times in this church and felt so comfortable and felt so loved. That's you guys extending the mercy of God and singing a beautiful song. See, mercy is the path, and God will bring the justice. He'll get people around to his way. And as we flow in that, it becomes something that God takes and he uses to make something beautiful. See, if we cast away those who frustrate us and don't pour into them, where would we all be? Listen, some of you guys showed up to this church and you were that throwaway. You were that person that somebody said, get out of here, we don't want you here. Heard of a woman who went to 9 different churches and was cast out of all of them before she landed here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. And finally she found a home. See, this is a place where some of us were the throwaway people that God saw fit to bring them to himself, to build us up, and now he's equipped us and released us into ministry. See, otherwise we'll end up with the us and them mentality. Is that right? See, it would just be like, well, we're so good, we're so great, we're so wonderful, and you guys over there, you can sit at my feet, right? You can learn from me, all that. No, listen, we're all in this together. We're all on a journey together. We're all walking the road. See, business sense is not God's sense. Let me say that again. Business sense is not God's sense. We do not run this church like a business. We run this church like a theocracy. What does that mean? That means that God is the head. That's what happens when you hear us say Jesus Christ is the real senior pastor of the church. See, we run this place listening to heaven, listening to the direction of God. And as we get his direction and his wisdom, then we start to do things. Doesn't make business sense to give people free food. Doesn't make business sense to not charge for rides to church. Doesn't make business sense for us to send money to bless the nations. See, it doesn't make business sense what we do, but we are not a business. We are the church of the Almighty God, loving people, and God will take care of the financial needs and the needs on the back end. See, conventional wisdom even is not the wisdom of God. Sometimes we say, we just got to have some common sense. I am in love with common sense. I wish everybody had some common sense, right? Because not everybody does. And yet, common sense being not so common, in the same token, sometimes God's sense is not so common either. And in your ministries, you need to have your ear. God, what is it that you want me to do? Oh, Lord, where is the mercy of God in this? Where is the love of God in this? God, is this your justice coming through? What is the right way for me to do this? See, in your ministries, you need to be open to what the Spirit is speaking so that you can be led. And it may not line up with common sense, but it may be the wisdom of God for your life. So he says, I'll behave wisely in a perfect way. When will you come to me? I'll walk within my house with a perfect heart. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road, because it's one thing to come here at the Rock Church World Outreach Center and serve in a ministry. One thing to be amongst the people of God and to, man, do you just have a good time putting your hand to something and doing something. But don't let your ministry be a veil for the problems that are in your heart. Because look at what he says. He says, I'll walk perfectly and I'll walk within my house with a perfect heart. See, when you go home, that's where the real you comes out, isn't it? And see, integrity and character is who you are regardless of your circumstances and your surroundings. Let me say it again. Integrity and character is who you are regardless of your circumstances and your surroundings. See, who you are at home is the real you. And as servant leaders in this house, as the servants of God here, I would hope that when you go home, your spouses, your children, your friends, the people that see you when you let your hair down, or when you wake up and you don't have your makeup, come on, somebody, that they would say, that's the same person that just woke up next to me that's going to work with me in the house of the Lord. That's the same person, see? We need to watch ourselves. In the New Living Translation, King David says, I will be careful to live a blameless life, and I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. What does that look like? See, home affects our work. Our private affects our public. If we win the battles and stay integrous at home, then our consistent character can bring the same integrity out in the workplace and the community. It will bring it out where there are potentially harsher circumstances that would pull at us. See, but the battle is won, and the battle is fiercer when you go home. Tonight, you're getting encouraged. You're getting built up. You're getting poured into tonight. And I love each and every one of you guys, but you're going to go home tonight, and you're going to have to face the reality. Some of you guys are going to have to make some hard choices. Is who I am at church who I am at home? Is that same Christian, that same passion going to be the same drive that I have at home? See, because what you do in private will affect what you do in public. And where you're at right now is not where you're going to be tomorrow. We're all growing. We all understand that. So there's no guilt. There's no shame. There's no condemnation. We're all growing together, and we all stumble in many things. We understand that. But if there's inconsistencies in your character, then stay in with us. Keep serving. Keep doing what you do. But start to be accountable. Start to be accountable to others in your serve teams. Start to be accountable to your leadership. Maybe you want to talk to one of the pastors and say, hey, I need help in this area of my life. I need to grow and I need to get rid of these things. I need to grow in that letter W like we talked about for this year in worship, sacrificial obedience. There's some things that I need to lay down on the altar that are unpleasing to God that I need to get rid of in my life so that my life can be a life that is sacrificially obedient to the will and the way of the Lord. Continues on in Psalm 101, verse 3 through 5. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me, and I will not know wickedness. Look at what he says. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. In other words, our associations, what we allow in our lives, what we continue to bring into our households is going to affect our service and our ministries. And King David was a warrior. Remember, King David, this guy had no qualms about chopping your head off if he didn't like you, right? He was the warrior king. He went out on raids. You can see him. This was a manly man. He killed the lion and the bear with his bare hands. And here he is saying, I'm not going to allow anything that's ungodly in my life. Church, serve teams, we tolerate way too much sin and way too much wickedness even in our own homes. And we need to be the warrior that God has called us to be. Each and every one of you, there is a lion on the inside of you. God wants to raise you up at home so that he can raise you up in the community, so that he can raise you up in the church, so that he can raise you up to your destiny. But what's going to hold you back is if you tolerate it. If you listen to gossip, oh, did you hear what Pastor Mondo did? Oh, my goodness, that guy's always up to something. Did you hear about what they did at the church? Oh, my goodness, Pastor Dan and Pastor Jess. Oh, my, my. Oh, did you hear the latest? You know? See, don't tolerate that stuff. Don't allow that stuff. Listen, we speak well of our leaders. We speak well of those who God has placed in the positions of authority over us. We build up, and we will not endure that. Listen, no, you're going to talk about something like that, you better get up out of here. But otherwise, I will give you the fivefold ministry. Come on. Hallelujah. See, the way we fight the battle is to eliminate the ungodly associations that will drag us down. Don't allow perversity in your home. Listen, there are secret sins that will kill you. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Keep short accounts with yourself, with God, with your spouse, and with others. Make sure to continue to do what it is that you need to do. Don't listen to the words of a gossip. Make sure your desires are pure. Psalm 101, verse 6, my eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. See, King David, he knew that if he could associate with godly people, that it would encourage him, it would build him up. He says, I'm gonna have my eye on the faithful. I'm gonna learn from other people. And listen, as you look around this room tonight, there are some great and mighty men and women of God. I am so excited that I see so many different people represented. I see the children's ministry over here in red. Hey, children's ministry, love you guys. I see the women's ministry in pink over here. All right, praise the Lord. All the sanctuary teams, you're all here in purple. Look at you guys. You guys are looking good. Come on. I'm giving you opportunities for shouts out. Come on. I see our prayer teams. I see our intercessors. You can tell where these guys are. They've got the scarves. Where'd you guys get those? Those are so cool. My goodness. Who am I missing? Where's the green? All right, come on, there you are. Okay, green team's over there, praise the Lord. See, we've got such great people. Where's the little rocat? All right, I think they're wearing white. Hey! Breaking Free, all right, Breaking Free's here tonight. Look at that, look at you guys, all right? Great, praise the Lord. See, God is doing something in each and every one. There's so many great people around this room. There are so many people that you can look up to, that you can watch, that you can bump elbows with. You know, he who walks with the wise becomes wise himself. That's what the Bible says. But you know the old saying, if you hang around the mud hole, eventually you're gonna fall in. So associate with us. Come hang out with us. Be a part of this. Psalm 101, verse 7 and 8. Let's wrap it up as Pastor Jess comes up. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. See, the company we keep affects our lives. And the people of God, We need to have those people in our lives. What we do in private will affect our public ministry. We need to follow the faithful way of integrity, get around people of a mutual faith. That's our serve teams. That's this church. That's this house. That is the people of God. See, as you do, God will raise you up to do great and mighty things, both in this church and in your community, in your family, out there in your destiny, whatever it is that God has for you. You won't have to ask, God, when will you come to me? God will be with you in power. Come on, somebody say amen tonight.
So good. Can you bring that to Luke? He needs that. Hi, everyone. How are you, family? Did you guys get like a good look at each other? Because sometimes you work in your own departments and you don't see all the other departments. So can you guys just wave at each other and say, you totally rock? Oh, yeah. You totally rock. Get it? We're playing on the words here. We're playing on our words. All right. Well, I just have something really quick. And you know, the men just gave such an incredible word. Thank you, guys. So good. But I want to just speak to some of you tonight because I believe God does something in our hearts when we give to the house of God. And so the Lord just all, like probably for about a month that I knew that I was doing this, the Lord just kept saying this one phrase to me, the heart of a servant, the heart of a servant, the heart of a servant. And I said, God, what are you trying to tell me about the heart of a servant? And he said, I want you to tell them this. A heart of a servant is a blessing to others, is pleasing to me, and brings favor on their life. A heart of a servant is blessing to others, brings favor to your life, and is pleasing to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be a servant then. I want to be in good form, in good way with my King of Kings and my Lord of Lords. And you guys have done a beautiful job for the house of God. There is a man by the name of Hezekiah, King Hezekiah. We're going to go right into this in 2 Chronicles. The story goes like this. The temple has been totally taken over. There's idols. They're just doing their own thing. They're not serving God. And during Hezekiah's reign, he decides that he is going to wipe out all the idols. He's going to take back the temple. They're going to rebuild. They're going to do everything they can to put things back in place that it should be. Now, that looks like a lot of work, right? Well, Hezekiah could not do this on his own. He gathered people and the church came together and everybody brought their tithes and their offerings. Everybody brought their hands and their service. The carpenters came and everybody came and did their piece to put the temple back into place the way it should be. That's like you and I. Listen, I could not do this on my own. I thank God for my girls that helped me out in Women Rock. Where are you at, girls? Where's the outreach teams? I could not do that. You guys are amazing, the outreach teams and food distribution and breaking free and the prayer teams and everything you do. You know, it's funny. I have to tell you a funny story. Hezekiah, right? They all had their place. Well, every time I use the restroom at this church, I know, here I am talking about the bathroom once again. I use the restroom. Do you ever get in those restrooms and you're like the last one that uses the toilet paper in those restrooms and they're like totally hard to get? Can I get a witness from anyone? Am I the only one that changes the toilet paper in this place? So every time I get into a restroom, I feel like I'm the one changing the toilet paper. And I tell God, you know, this is funny because how come I'm the one? He said, you should be so grateful to be able to change the toilet paper. These are the conversations your pastor has with God. But I just want to say, it's almost a simple reminder that just the little things that we get to do, if I get to change that toilet paper roll for the next person that walks into that bathroom so they don't have to, so that they're comfortable, they don't feel awkward, and maybe it's a new church for them, maybe it's a new place for them, maybe they don't know how to do it, and so they're just stuck in a moment. However I can make that moment better for them, it is my pleasure to do that for the kingdom. And so listen, guys, that's what you do. You do that. You do. We all together do our peace and our part around here. I know that's a funny and cheesy story, but they all were doing their part in their peace. And it pleased God. And this is what God said about Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 31:20. It says, in this way, King Hezekiah handled the distribution throughout all of Judah. And doing this was pleasing to God and good in the sight of the Lord. Ooh, I want God to look down on us at the Rock Church and go, ooh, I have pleasure on them. They are good in my sight. You see, there's favor upon us. because we serve his house. See, the local church is not my idea. The local church is not Pastor Dan's idea because we need a job. No, that is not how this works. It is a God idea that we said, sure, God, we are willing, we are able, we're called, we'll do what you ask to do. And then you guys came along and God said, good, then I'm going to build a team. And you guys are the team players. You guys are the servants. Just like Hezekiah had his team and they were rebuilding the temple and putting it all back together. You are building this house in San Bernardino where people do not want to go. But you know what? I believe God wants to be here and he's with us every service, every time we put effort in, every time we pray our prayers, every time we do something. God said that it was pleasing and good in the sight of God. Verse 21. And it says, in all that he did in the service of the temple of God and in his efforts to follow, I love that, God's laws and commands, Hezekiah sought his God wholeheartedly. Listen, guys, when we serve in the house of God, it's our way of saying, I'm coming after you, God. Because, God, you gave me something and I would be foolish to just sit on it and do nothing with it. Some of you have gifts and talents. Some of you wonder why you talk a lot. Well, you know what? Maybe you are just called to pray a lot. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a beautiful thing. Maybe some of you play instruments or you sing. All of you, God has given you those things, not for yourself, but for the betterment of other people, to serve his house, to build the kingdom of God here on earth so that more people can come to know his name. And so we can make his name famous throughout all the world so that he can come. Oh, come, Lord God, so that we can make his name famous in our land. And so that's what Hezekiah's people did. And God said, that Hezekiah sought his God wholeheartedly. As a result, he was very successful. I believe, Rock Church, we are very successful in our giving. But I want to say to you, you know, grow, the first one is giving, but the other one is relationships. You guys look at each other. These are relationships worth giving into, worth getting to know, worth being a part of. You guys are a family that maybe you don't even know each other. So tonight afterwards, we're going to have donuts and stuff for you. Hang out a little bit. Go introduce yourself. Say, hi, my name is. What do you do in your ministry? What is it that God asked you to do? Because I believe that each and every one of you have a soul purpose, and it's very pleasing to God. But just to have a relationship isn't enough. We are in this. We are all in this together for one reason, to bless other people. And I believe that you have a voice. I believe that whatever you put your hand to, God will bless it. He will encourage it. He will pour favor upon it. And I love this verse in Romans. I was looking so many verses up. I had to trim it down because I realized I was sharing the platform. So I cut them all down. Romans 12:13 says in the New Living Translation, when God's people are in need, I love this, be ready to help them. Always eager to practice hospitality. What a beautiful thing. I want to be hospitable to those that come. Because do you remember being in high school and everybody had their groups? It was totally awkward. And you know, you walk in and you're like, where do I sit at the lunch table? I mean, they still make movies about it. My kids are about to go to junior high and I'm just like, oh no, oh, I'm scared for you. Because it is a whole new world, right? Well, it feels the same way when you go to a new church. And so for people that walk into our churches, we want them to feel comfortable. We want them to feel safe. We want them to know that they're loved. We want them to feel like, well, we don't have our clique, but you know what? You can be a part of this house because this house is awesome. God loves you and we're excited you're here. We prayed you in and this is a divine appointment. See, God has something for them. You are here, a beautiful servant's heart to be a blessing to others, and you guys have done that so well. So can I just say thank you, thank you, thank you. And the last part of this is it brings favor on your life. Did you know that? I know we don't give to get. That's never any of our intention, right? But I believe God does it anyways. It's like when you have children, I have little kids, and when my kids are wonderful, guess what I want to do? I want to rain blessing on them. When they're good, I'm like, yeah, you can have an extra piece of candy. You know, when they're bad, I'm like, you get nothing. Like I will provide you a bed and a room, but that is it. But when you are good, I will give you it all. If you want to go to the movies, what do you want to do for your birthday? Because we are going to spend all our money. You know, like that's what I believe God is like. God loves us. And when we do awesome things for the kingdom of God, guess what God does for us? Awesome things for us. And God is not a respecter of persons. It's not just for Pastor Dan or Pastor Luke. It's not just for those that have been here longer. Maybe you've just started becoming a volunteer. Well, watch God rain out on you. Watch God pour a blessing on you because that's the heart of God. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves those that give of themselves. In 2 Corinthians, it says, in chapter 9, verse 8 through 11 in the New English Translation. And God is able to make all grace overflow to you so that because you have enough of everything in every way at all times, I don't know about you, but all right, more than enough in everything in every way, that's a lot, right? You will overflow in every good work. These are amazing promises. You might be sitting there going, well, I don't really feel like that. Well, you know what? How about we start getting ourselves back in faith again and stir ourselves up and say, I'm here to serve God, and God, I'm going to give it all, and you would just pour out a blessing on my home, on my finances, on my children. See, when you're faithful to God, he's faithful to you. And then it goes on in verse 9, just as it is written, he has scattered widely and he has given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. Verse 10, now God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for food, will provide and multiply and supply of seed and will cause the harvest of your righteousness to grow. I don't know about you, but how many of us need blessings on our homes? We need the righteousness of God to overpour and to flow out of us in every word and every deed and everything that happens in our lives. You're believing for those children to serve God all the days of their life. Well, you know what? You got a whole family here believing with you, and we're going to cheer your kids into heaven. And you know what? If they're going off the right path or wrong path, we will stand in the gap with you as a family. And you are not alone in this, because God's righteousness will reign on your home, and that's a promise that he has given you. So do not let the enemy take ground, because when you serve the house of God, when your heart is a servant, a heart of service, the enemy comes after you. But listen, God is on your side. He's got your back. He knows what he's got. When you guys notice you're fighting a lot, sometimes Dan and I will just get at each other. We'll just bug each other. And I'm like, this is an attack. We need to stop. Like, you recognize those things for what they are, because God doesn't promise fighting. God doesn't promise kids not serving God. God doesn't promise those things. What does God promise? Overflowing in every way, at all times, an overflow of every good work. You see, there's a promise that God has for his servants, those that serve him wholeheartedly. He loves you and he wants to fulfill his destiny in your life. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you may be generous on every occasion when it's producing through us thanksgiving to God. Listen, we have sown. You have sown. You've sown every week. You've sown in the services. You've given and given and given. And guess what God's going to do? He's going to sow back and pour out upon you such blessing that you won't know what happens. So thank you, guys. Can I just say thank you for serving and being on our team? Thank you for being in the house. Thank you for loving people back to life. Thank you for caring for the Inland Empire, and thank you for loving us through this last year, because this was a big year for all of us in this transition. And so I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. I love you very much, Pastor Dan.
So good. So good. It's awesome. Awesome. I know it's hard for you all to believe that we fight, and I have a hard time thinking about it myself too sometimes. God is good. Hey, before we do something, we're going to do some special things tonight before we finish up, and we wanted to bless each and every one of you tonight. Now, not only with games and giveaways and all that kind of stuff, the greatest blessing that we could give to you is the blessing of God. And so tonight, your pastors, your leaders, ministry heads, we're going to be up here and we're going to get out the anointing oil. And we just want to pray a prayer blessing over you and just get a fresh anointing on you for this year as we go and as we serve in the ministry in the year ahead. God's got great things in store for each and every one of us. This church is getting ready to bust at the seams. It's getting ready to grow like we've never seen it grow before.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.